Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Delisa Williams and your faith-based community nurse. We're in the trenches again, talking about health and wellness. And I do hope and trust that you have remained healthy, safe, and well during this time, and that you're weathering the heat that we have encountered and the storms, and hope that things are really going well for you, that God is continually blessing. And tonight, my scripture is coming out of Psalms 103, verses 2 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. And just want to talk a little bit about what's going on. I am not, my main focus tonight is going to be on the RSV. People are have a lot of questions about it. It has been on the news, talking about a vaccine, but also wanted to, before I get into that, wanted you to make you aware of the new COVID-19 virus mutant variant, which is the Aries. Is one of the new ones. Combination of different mutations of the Omicron virus. And it is very new. It really presents like everything else does, flu-like symptoms, fever, cough, shortness of breath, fatigue, muscle ache, headache, and sore throat. And in some cases, it even you even have a loss of taste or smell, which is common to the Omicron, the COVID-19 virus. And so what it is, it's just a new variant of an old virus. And so just wanted to make you aware of that. And that is the importance of really taking care of yourself even more. And we're not going to really talk about that, because if you realize, from my previous episode, I have talked about viruses, and not a lot you can do about them. They're really, really smart, and they're able to reform themselves, because their goal is survival. And whatever they have to do to survive, they will do that. So you really can't cure a virus, but of course, you know, we've done the vaccines, and what we're seeing, even with the vaccines, that it keeps mutating itself in order to survive. And in the scripture I read, the Bible teaches us that that he will heal us, but it also tells us, who satisfy thy mouth with good things. And so a lot of what I'm going to be talking about, I will talk to you about the virus, but also want you to understand that we do bear some responsibility in taking care of ourselves to combat the different diseases that are coming on the earth, especially there are more viral-type diseases that we are experiencing now. And as I said before, you're never going to kill a virus. So we have no medicine to kill the virus. Even when you have the flu or a viral infection, we're not even, they'll give you antibiotics, but it really, the antibiotics are not doing anything to a virus. It's just more or less using a medicine that doesn't need to be moved, which can desensitize you in the future if you need that medicine again. They do tend to throw medicines, even though they know it's a viral infection, they do tend to throw medicines at people that have illnesses that compromise their immune system, and it's just a hopefully a protection for them, but it's not doing anything to the virus, more or less feeding it is what it's doing. And so let's talk about the RSV virus, and let me explain something to you. This is not a new virus. I graduated from nursing school in 1990, and when I started working pediatric, RSV was already there. It's been around. It is a virus that has been around that for young children has always been a virus of concern, but for older adults, it more or less manifested itself like a cold, and of course you treat the symptoms, okay? So, but with all that we have been experiencing with COVID-19 and its variants, RSV has reemerged, and with the reemergence, it is now not just a concern to children, but it's a concern up to certain adult population, older adult population. So RSV is just the virus itself. It's called the respiratory syncytial virus. It's a common virus. It usually causes mild cold-like symptoms. And most people recover in a week or two, but even though it can be serious, but for the most part, it, you recover in a week or two. And I know when I was working pediatrics, we would always tell the adults that in you, it's just a cold. Treat your cold. But in kids, because of the younger children, because of their limited respiratory function, it can develop into something more serious. Now it, with the emergence of the other viruses that we've had to deal with, RSV has raised its head now, and now it is a concern not just to infants, but to older adults, because it's more likely to develop into a serious illness and require hospitalization. So what we would see typically, people infected with the RSV virus, it's usually as an infant or a toddler. Nearly all children are infected with this virus before their second birthday. However, repeated infections can occur throughout their life. But people of any age can be infected with this. But in the past, the concern has been more with younger children, mostly the ones that are 6 months or less of age, although we know adults can have this. Infection in healthy children and adults are generally less severe, as you would imagine, than if it's an infant or old adult with certain medical conditions. And so we actually see in a high risk, the severe disease in high risk population, and mostly has been premature infants, which we can understand that, or young children with congenital or heart or chronic lung disease, young children whose immune system has been compromised due to either a medical condition or maybe they're having some type of medical treatment, children with neuromuscular disease, and now they've added adults with compromised immune systems or older adults, especially those with underlying, you know, heart or lung disease. In most of the areas of the United States and other areas with similar climates, RSV season generally starts during the fall, which is when we would be busting pediatric patients, and it peaks in the winter. But, of course, the timing and the severity of the disease season is it can vary from year to year. And so this is not a new virus, and it's just that for some reason, which a lot of it has to do with we have more adults with compromised immune systems. Some of this is because of they've had it all along. Some of this, they had, if you know, with COVID-19, some people have developed long-term lung issues, and so it makes them more susceptible. But like I said, and back when I practiced 3 years ago, it was just more deadly in children, not necessarily all children, but it could be. So when I work pediatrics, usually if young children, especially less than 2 years of age, and especially if they're less than 6 months, if they ran a fever, say 102.5, they would usually present to their pediatrician if it's during the week or during their office hours over to the ER if it was the office has closed. Any child coming in with a temperature of 102.5 would automatically be admitted and tested for RSV. And we do that by taking a nasal above and, you know, getting secretions out of the nose and sending it to the lab. Well, a lot of times, because we saw it so much, we could tell the doctor if it was positive before it even went down. Because we could look at the color. It's not something you can explain to anybody, but you know that color. And you knew they were positive. The importance of having a kid in the hospital, though, with RSV is because, like I said, when they're young like that, they tend not to be able to fight off viruses as well as older, more mature health-wise children. And then some of the children also had underlying conditions. We had several kids who had asthma. So definitely you would want to have them in the hospital. People that have that have been infected with the RSVs usually have symptoms that show up within 4 to 6 days after getting infected, which is typically a runny nose. They have a decreased appetite, cough and sneeze and fever and wheezing. And so the two signs that we would always, which would always guarantee a child admission would be fever and wheezing. And what we would do is we couldn't treat the virus because there is no cure for the virus, but we would treat all of the symptoms, which means that, you know, oxygen supplement if they needed it. They would have round-the-clock respiratory treatments. We would make sure that they were fully hydrated. We would manage the fever. We would also make sure that they were suctioned properly, and they would also be on a monitor to monitor their oxygen level. So I've had two really, really, and none of them involved in an adult. So if an adult is immunocompromised or have lung and heart problems, this same situation can happen to them. One of the issues I had, incidents I had in the hospital, is I had a set of twins. They were very young. They were less than a year of age. They presented with the typical, of course, cold symptoms, but what landed them in the hospital is they had fever and they had wheezing. And that young of an age, you've got to be able to monitor the wheezing and make sure that the air is moving through the lungs, because of, if you know anything about children, their eustachial tube is shorter. So when they have a lot of nasal congestion, it goes down the eustachial tube and into the lungs. So you really have to monitor that. So the set of twins I had, they were doing fine. We were doing all the supplemental treatments. They were on the constant monitoring. Well, one of the twins started to get in trouble respiratory-wise. And so I called the doctor and I said, look, one of the twins is going bad. We need to ship them out now, because there's a, at that time there was a special treatment for them, but you had to be able to be near a ventilator for children, and so we would have to ship them out to Children's Hospital in Birmingham. So the doctor came and she said, okay, let's get her, this one out. And I said, no, let's send both of them out, because I'm sure if this one's going bad, the other one was going bad. And she said, okay, send them both in if that's what you want to do. Yeah, that's what I want to do. And so we did send both of them out on the transport to Children's Hospital. The second child went bad. Now, fortunately, they got to Children's Hospital. They were able to get the treatment that was necessary. And don't know if they put them on the ventilator, but at the time we were told that to give that particular medicine that they gave, they had to go on, had to be on a ventilator just for rest. But thank God they did survive, okay? They were fine, came out of it well. The second child I had, actually her grandmother worked for me, and she, as an aide, and she, her two-year-old came in and had RSV, and the child was doing fine. We had no problems. We were monitoring her. Really, she was getting better. We thought she was going to get out of there. The virus attacked her heart. Now, one thing you want to know about children, usually when they die, even if they have heart problems, usually death is as a result of the respiratory status. That's typically how young children die. It's their respiratory status that takes them out, regardless of what they have going on. Well, I mean, she was fine. She was I had been in there several days, and we thought she was going home. And all of a sudden, that virus flipped on her, attacked her heart, and she died. She was 2 years old. So that's what I'm seeing. In young children, it can be very deadly. It can, and you have to monitor it, because you don't know when it's going to change. That case just happened so fast. By the time we actually could do something, it was just too late. I mean, there was nothing else to be done. So what we're seeing now is that the RSV has resurfaced, but now there is a concern for older adults, okay, who have underlying heart or lung disease problems, or adults that have compromised immune system. And so from the symptoms, you can see why that would be a issue. If you have an underlying immune system, or if you have heart disease or lung disease, because of the way this virus works, it's not as bad as COVID-19, but it does cause a lot of congestion in the lung, which creates a wheezing. And if you're already compromised, you're really not able to move air in the lung fields effectively. The biggest thing that, and I don't want to get too detail with the lungs, but if we can keep everything in the upper part of the lungs, which is what you call upper respiratory infection, if we can keep everything up there, you do better with anybody, whether they have heart problems, lung problems, immune system, no matter what they have. If you can keep it up in the upper part of the lungs, you tend to do better. If it ever gets down in the lower part of the lungs, that's where we run into the problems. Because in the lower part of the lungs is actually where the gases are exchanged. When you breathe in, you breathe in oxygen, goes down to the base of the lungs and pushes out the carbon dioxide. And that's how you have those gases exchanges. You breathe in oxygen, you breathe out carbon dioxide. But that exchange happens at the lower part of the lung. And that is why we tell people, even without this RSV, that if you have congestion, take something to get rid of that congestion. Drink a lot of water, because even simple congestion can move to the lower part of the lung. That's how you get pneumonia, because that congestion consolidates in the lower part of the lungs, and it affects the ability of the air exchange to take place efficiently. And so that's basically what happens with our RSV. Now, there are antivirals, that the medication that can be given, but they're saying they should not be routinely given. They're just not recommended to fight this infection, because most of the time it will go away on their own in a week or two. But if it is severe enough, then you have to do the supportive methods. Now they're saying, and I've seen on the news, is vaccinating against the a vaccine for the RSV. This is only my personal opinion. It has nothing to do with whether you should or should not. Because I tell everybody, you have to make that decision for you. Because your health may be at a point that you need as much protection as you can get. But you have to realize you're never going to kill a virus. If you vaccinate against the virus, it's going to find a way to mutate and make a stronger virus. That's what we're seeing with the COVID-19. That's why the ARIS is happening now. That's right now is because of the fact that we vaccinated and boosted and boosted. And guess what? Now it has mutated into something different, which, you know, they think maybe the vaccines that are out there may work. Nobody knows. So whether the vaccine or not should be an individual decision, but just know that viruses, no matter how much you vaccine, they're smart. They know how to change their makeup to survive. the best defense against viruses is taking care of yourself. I'm going to keep saying it over and over again until it clicks. Exercise, and I don't mean full-fledged, just walking, being active, eating right, getting proper sleep, staying properly hydrated. Good hygiene is what's going to help us through these different viruses, okay? Because that, I mean, that's how it's going to work. Every time you try to do something different, the virus is going to do something different. So basically, I tell people if they have a cold, cold. If you don't have a fever, just treat the cold. If you have a fever, manage your fever. There's a lot of over-the-counter stuff that you can use. And I always tell people, especially people that have underlying conditions, even chronic sinusitis, always having problems with their sinuses, always keep mucinex. I keep mucinex all the way, all the time. I am never without mucinex. So I tell people do that. So there are things that we can do. Saline nasal spray, very good. And people, and they ask me, said, you always telling us this. I work with not only pediatricians, I work with ENT. And what I learned is, and we did it with children. Anytime children came in with congestion before they start selling it, we told parents how to make it and get droppers and put it in their nose. What that salt water does, it breaks up the congestion, and it makes blowing more effective or coughing it up more effective. And if you can break it up at the upper level of your lungs, then there's less chance of a more serious illness, okay? So the big thing to do is you just, with RSV, is to manage your symptoms. And drinking plenty of fluids that prevents dehydration. We don't have that a lot in adults unless their temperature is really high, like 104. But young children can dehydrate very quickly with a temperature 102 or 101.9. It doesn't take them long. I'm talking about a matter of hours. They can dehydrate. The other thing is that you just have to treat whatever it's doing. If you see that you're wheezing, definitely I would, at that point, you really do need to get to a doctor or to a hospital, because if you are compromised already or if you're a young child already, you're not going to be able to handle the wheezing. Wheezing just means that you're having difficulty with gas exchanges in the lower part of the lungs, and that's where we get into trouble right there. In most cases, people hospitalize, and they only hospitalize for a few days, and then, you know, they're out. They talk about RSV being contagious, like 3 to 8 days, and it can spread when a person coughs or sneezes, droplets in the air. You know, it's on surfaces. Now, when we were in the hospital, and I'm telling this was years ago because these viruses they've done fantastic job of keeping themselves alive, but we had an infectious disease expert that talked to us, and at first when we were doing the RSV, we would isolate the children. They would have to be in, they would either have to be in a private room or they had to be in a room with another child that had RSV. And she said that really wasn't necessary. She said if they, each child stayed to their side, maintain their own space, their own toys, no intermingling between parents, and if they did, make sure they washed their hands very well, that you would not cross-contaminate. And we tried it, and it worked. But it's probably now more virulent than it was back then because we've had so many other viruses that, like COVID-19, that we have come in contact with. So it's just, you just have to do what you have to do. And we always tell people, if you're coughing and sneezing, always cover your mouth. Just cough in the air or sneeze in the air. I was looking up some statistics, and I thought, And it says that in the United States that RSV sends an estimated 58,000 children under the age of 5 to the, to the hospital for treatment each year. However, there are nearly 177,000 adults hospitalized each year with RSV, and 14,000 adults over 65 die from this infection. And so what that is telling me is that RSV has now found a way to become more virulent and more serious with this infection. It's really more dangerous in babies because their immune system is still developing. But from the statistics that I am reading now is that, and didn't realize that that many adults actually go into the hospital with RSV every year. And that's a lot. I mean, because I know during the fall up until just before spring, we were always inundated with kids with RSV. We always, for the most part, we always had a good outcome with them. We did symptomatic treatment, and they did fine. And like I said, I did have two cases where it was a little more difficult, but for the most time, even our chronic asthmatic kids came out very well. So this is not just the takeaway is not a new virus. It's just reemerging and reemerging to be a more serious problem than it has been in the past. Like I said, I've worked with RSV since the 90s, so, I mean, we never worried about it with adults because we knew it was just a cold. They treat the cold. They were fine. But we got to look at what is happening in our society now. Our society is sicker than it has been. And a lot of it is because just have not taken care of ourselves. So we have more people now with chronic lung problems. We have more people with chronic heart problems. We've got people with diabetes. We've got a lot of cancer, so they're getting treatments, got those immune issues. And some things are just not preventable. Some things just run through the bloodline. But then even those things that we inherit, we can still do a better job at taking care of ourselves. Had my doctor's appointment, my cholesterol numbers changed just slightly, and I just told him, I said, you know what? I know what to do. I know what I haven't been doing, and I know what to do. And I'll take care of this. He said, fine, because I know you know what you're doing. I said, yep, I know what I'm doing. I know what changes to make. And I said, and I'll make those changes. And he said, fine, see you in 6 months. I'm out of there. And this is what we have to do. This is not what we're seeing. we're seeing people that are really not on, and I'm not saying this is everybody, but we're seeing a population that is not taking control of their health care, that is dependent on medication, and making drug companies rich. When you can do some things to help yourself, you know, you know what kind of issues you have, and that's what we used to tell our parents. You know what triggers your child's asthma episode. Well, this one come on. I said, you know what? If it triggers your child's episode of asthma, tell them they can't come. If they can't do that, it's either that or we're going to keep shipping your child out to Children's Hospital. And that's when I tell adults, if you know what things causes problems to aggravate your underlying condition, cut it out. I have people that have heart problems, that have lung problems, and they're still smoking. Okay, there's nothing I can do about that, but just be aware that your underlying condition makes a pathway to these viruses and makes it, those viruses, whereas might have been minor with you in the past, it makes them more serious. So that is it for me for tonight. That's the RSV picture. Yeah, so everybody has to decide if they want this to take the vaccine. But I'm not telling anybody not to take it, and I'm not telling anybody to take it. But just know that next time it's going to be something else. There's going to be another virus, and there's going to be another vaccine. And the goal would be to make your body work for you and help you with these issues. So if there's no questions or comments, that's RSV in a nutshell.
Thank you. And you're right.
You're welcome.
We need to take care of ourselves, because growing up, we ate the proper food that prepared our bodies to deal with all of the stuff that we're dealing with now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, I have one of my godchildren. He is in his master's program, and also he's changed jobs. He's only working part-time, but he's going to be doing transports. So he called me today. He said, look, I am going to be busy. I know I'm not going to be eating right. I will pay you to do my meal prep. So, you know, you've got to take control. Now, he knew what he mm-hmm. was not going to be able to do. And so he had to figure out, and he's not going to do meal prep. So we were trying to get him to do it for even when he was working a regular job in respiratory therapy. But now he recognizes. He went to the doctor. All his labs wasn't good. He's only 27 years old.
Good.
And, yeah. So he knows I've got to make changes. And see, if people realize, listen, my body, I better make some changes, or it's going to make changes on it. And 27 mm-hmm. is too young to have a whole lot of issues. You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's what everybody's got to do. They got to take the bull by the horn and take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
All righty.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.